Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the DGDG.com studios in downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
All righty then. Thank you so much. Welcome to another live edition of Tittle and Herbs.
Yeah.
Rick Tittle and Michael Urban.
What up, Rick?
We're going to take you all the way until 7:45, live coverage of your alma mater, the USF Dons.
They're on fire. They are off to their best start since I can remember. I think maybe since the program got brought back. Frankie Ferrari.
Great name.
From Burlingame, no less.
Great name. And you know what? I saw him last year, and he reminds me of Steve Nash because he looks like nothing.
Yeah.
And he can ball.
He's an effort guy. There's no doubt about it. USF basketball, 7:45. But we've got much more important basketball to discuss.
And then we will throw it to Pat Olson. USF basketball, Frankie Ferrari breaks the ball up on the hilltop.
That's a pretty good Pat Olson,
okay.
Yeah.
I know Pat, so I can.
Well, you've had about 30 years to perfect it. Been
just,
doing that
I
forever.
I just tried it right now.
Yep.
Pat Olson will join us. We're going to speak with Danny LaRue in about a half hour. He covers the Warriors for The Athletic. Bob Nightingale will drop by around 6:15. We'll ask him about MLB, Hot Stove, Giants, and the A's. Connor Letourneau, enchanté, je ne parle pas français, je suis américain. He will join us, the Warriors beat writer from The Chronicle at 7.
What he said.
Josh Liskowitz, we've had him before, Pro Football Focus. We'll talk about, of course, the draft, the combine. Remember in Herbs, you put the emphasis on the second syllable in football?
Mm-hmm.
You don't say offense, defense, and combine. It's offense, defense, combine.
Okay.
That's how real men say it.
All right. I will keep that in mind over the next 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Good for ball, bad for ball.
Yeah.
Michael Urban staple. I opened the stapler. That staple was in there.
Okay.
So we're going to do that right around 6:30.
Sounds good to me.
It's going to be fantastic. I have some things. You have some things. Our producer, Lucas, will have some things. But let's start off, obviously, with the biggest story in sports. You know, a lot of times, us being the Warriors' home station, a lot of times people say, you talk about them even when nothing's happening. And that's true because, you know, we like talking about the Warriors.
I don't know that that's true. There's never nothing happening with the Warriors.
Well, you know, it's like, let's just say nothing monumental.
I got you.
This was the biggest story in sports last night. It was the return of DeMarcus Cousins, and how would he fit in? First of all, your initial impression of Boogie 2.0.
I like it. Very much. Very, very much. You know,
prosaic.
Among other things, as the countdown got real and we knew we were going to see DeMarcus on the floor, one of the things that got brought up a number of times was the trail three and how he's going to get an opportunity to shoot a ton of trail threes. And I was thinking to myself, yeah, in theory, but in practice, you would think, wouldn't that have occurred to the other team? Make sure you do not let him get trail threes. Well, it obviously didn't occur because he got a couple trail threes yesterday. And that's, I'm telling you, man, a guy who can, he's a stretch five. Most of the time when you hear about a stretch five, what's the weakness in that stretch five's game? It's down on the block. He's a stretch five because he can play out away from the basket. There's not many stretch fives that can hit that three with a modicum of consistency and beat you to death on the low block if he needs to. That's what Boogie can do for you. And that's him hitting those threes had to just, oh my God, it had to, everybody involved with the Warriors, everybody connected with the franchise had to see those drop in and go, wow, this is going to be some fun.
It's funny for me, my visceral reaction, because as long as you and I are natives, we've been Warrior fans our whole lives, and we know for a good, from 75 to 2015, there were only about five fun years in there. A couple of little run TMCs and a We Believe. Yeah. So it's basically 35, 36 years of abject misery. And so during this Warrior success and winning a championship, having the best regular season record ever, getting Kevin Durant and people getting upset, I always thought, screw you. You know, we deserve this.
Exactly.
There was
this is our payback.
There was actually a smidgen of me. When I saw Cousins' third three-pointer go down, I kind of thought,
damn, maybe this is unfair.
It is unfair.
Wow.
It is. I mean, think about it. They don't have five All-Stars in my mind. They've got six because Andre Iguodala, when he's engaged and when he's healthy, and he has been lately, he's every bit as effective as those other five guys. So you've got six elite guys that you can turn to. And while, yes, this is, I'll go out on a limb, having not seen those Celtics back in the day, this is the best starting five in NBA history. Okay, well, throw on top of that one of the better six men in NBA history. And by the way, the rest of their bench isn't all that bad. If everyone stays healthy from this point going forward and Kerr is able to actually utilize the rotations that he's been thinking about as Cousins was working his way back, it is unfair. I don't see how any team can really put a scare into the Warriors.
When you think about the one skill of getting your hand or your arm in a passing lane right before the pass, to me, Iguodala is the best I've ever seen.
Yeah.
At predicting that.
I mean, he
time
does.
Time and time again, he's there.
And you hear Kerr talk about it all the time. And oftentimes it's something that a coach will use to make sure the player knows he's appreciated. But sometimes it's not, I don't know, maybe overblown a little bit when the coach says, well, he does a lot of things that don't show up in the stat sheet, right? It's an easy, hard-to-disprove compliment of a player.
Intangibles.
Right. But it's legit when it comes to Andre. I mean, you watch him enough, and if you ISO him, and I've told you how long it takes me to watch a game back, but I will go...
You go Greg Papa style, you break it down frame by frame, Zapruder film?
Not frame by frame, but I will decide, okay, for the next five possessions on offense, I'm going to just watch Draymond and see what he does. Mm-hmm. I did that with Andre this morning, and I couldn't believe how many little things he did, deflections, a timely rotation that didn't, there's no way it would show up on the stat sheet, but it absolutely affected the opposing flow's offense, the opposing offense's flow. And again, that's not going to show up on the stat sheet, but that truly is. It's not Steve Kerr just trying to make Andre feel better. It's legit.
So you had my breakfast with Andre.
Exactly. Yes. I did have breakfast. I had brunch with Andre.
Remember the Wally Shawn movie, My Dinner with Andre?
Of course I do.
Okay, we're old enough. By the way, we'd love your participation in the show. Very caller friendly. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. And the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. And I was thinking, Herbs, because I want to get to a text here that's from a guy who's not satisfied. But before I get to that, no, you can't make everybody happy. Some people love complaining. How many Warrior fans do you think say, yeah, he looked okay, but he still fouled out? How many Warrior fans were upset by the fact that in just 15 minutes, he had six fouls?
If you're upset by what you saw last night, you need to relax.
Let's go to the 510 on the text line, 95795. That was a good game to start him because the Clippers were depleted.
Okay, fine, if that's the way you feel about it. But the bottom line is, look, I'm not saying DeMarcus looked perfect. There were times when it looked like he was favoring the Achilles, or at least running a little bit gingerly. But at the same time, I can recall at least three times where he beat his man down the floor in transition. And it was clear that he had the Warriors' mantra in the back of his head, pace, pace, pace. He outran his guys. He got behind the defense a couple of times. One time he missed the layup. The other time he got fouled, got a couple of free throws out of it. Once he really gets his rhythm, you get him another week's play. When he gets those runouts, he's going to finish them all the time. Live on the line.
Yeah, I think rhythm is a good key because I think he understands the Warriors' tempo, which is a huge thing. Mm-hmm. He's been around them long enough and practiced enough with them. But it's just that rhythm. Like, there was the one play where he had the steal in the key. He runs past everyone, like he said. He kind of paused right around the free throw line, and he threw up a brick. And to me, it's like, I thought he was a little winded. And mm-hmm. he'll get that wind back eventually because he's much better shooter than that. But that's just one of those things, like, I made a steal, I ran down here, and like, oh, wait, and I, yeah. That'll come.
Yeah, and also is his shooting, I would imagine. Look, if your legs, if your lower body is compromised in any way, and I don't think people really buy into this as much as what is, it's fact. If you don't have your legs, it's going to affect your shot. And so I saw a couple of shots, one of them in particular, that just, he flat out pulled the string on it. He was short with it. And then I rewound it 7-8 times and watched it. And there was very little bend in his head, his legs. He just didn't get his legs involved. Eventually, he's going to trust that more, and even more shots are going to go down.
Couple more on the text line here. Chilton Autobody text line 95795. 510, just wait till they play better teams.
Okay.
925, coaching staff allowed him to foul out. Yes, obviously. 510, I'm pleased with what I saw. 408, we have Team USA. Yeah, we do. And then one guy says, hey, guys, is the at Greg underscore Papa with three A's the real one?
I would guess not.
He's not on Twitter, especially not spelled that way. One more question for you here, Herbs, because we want to bring in Danny LaRue here in the next segment. The amount of partying you think they did last night, which they deserved. There's
sure.
no practice today. It was a very rare case where they were on the road, but they stayed an extra day because they're playing in the same building. They didn't have to fly home after the Clipper game, so they had a little weekend in Los Angeles there. How much partying do you think they did last night?
I think there was a healthy amount of partying going on, or at least celebrating. I don't know exactly what.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Boogie Cousins called it the best day of his life.
One of them, yeah.
I think he said it was the best.
Now, that's Mark Davis hiring Gruden. He said one of the best.
One of the best days. But sure, he deserves it. I mean, think about that. It was a year of just grueling rehab, and it came at the worst possible time for him. He's in line for a max. He's in line to play in the playoffs for the first time, and then that everything gets taken away from him in one injury. And by the way, to get back anywhere close to where you were, it's going to be a year of really hard and frustrating work. He got through that year. He got with the best team in basketball, and there's no reason not to go nuts last night and celebrate. Like you said, I think they got 5 or 6 nights in L.A. They got in a day early, I think. Mm-hmm. And so there was the night before the game, the night of the game, Saturday and Sunday night, and then they play Monday, so they'll spend Monday night. So, yeah, I think that's 5 or 6 nights they get in L.A.
What did Steve Martin used to say as a comedian if he spent that much time in town? He would fly in, meet a nice girl, get married, buy a house, get a divorce, leave. That's what he used to do. All right, when we come back, more conversation about DeMarcus Cousins and the Warriors. We'd love to hear from you. Hoop fans, feel free to call in. It's toll-free, 888-957-9570. And, of course, the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. We'll also bring in Danny LaRue at the bottom of the hour. It covers the Warriors. For The Athletic, he's Michael Urban. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back, 95.7 The Game.
Felt like a kid on Christmas. It's been a long journey. I've said it plenty of times. This is probably one of the best days of my life, just being out there on the floor again, playing the game that I love.
That is DeMarcus Cousins.
No nipples touching.
What?
No nipples touching. Are you looking at the weigh-in? In the studio, I'll pull back the curtain a little bit. In the studio, we've got a couple monitors. One of them is showing a weigh-in for the UFC, and then they have the stare down, and I just happened to notice, and he had a great line after that, the referee kind of put his hands in between them. It looked like he was trying to prevent their nipples from touching, and you said it's just like
a Catholic school dance. But you have to make sure you make a drop out of that now, Lucas. What did you say again?
No nipples touching.
All right. That was DeMarcus Cousins. And I almost called him Nipples. No, he's Boogie Cousins. And this is a guy, he got his nickname in Kentucky, by the way, and it's stuck with him. But this is your Team USA guy. And it, to me, what it was last night, Herbs, and by the way, we're going to bring in Danny LaRue here in about 10 minutes. He's from The Athletic. When you have, it's all part of our French theme tonight, Connor Letourneau will come on after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marcel Marceau, who's terrible on the radio.
He is.
Why would he be? He's a mime.
He doesn't talk.
He's a mime. Very good. Okay. You have to explain the joke. I just ruined it. But when I was watching Cousins last night, it was kind of like the first time I saw KD play for the Warriors for the first few games. Because I never in my wildest dreams thought that Kevin Durant would be on the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And while the Warriors were good. And so every once in a while, it still kind of hits me. But now I've accepted that KD is actually on the Warriors. That he's actually on our team. But when I was watching Cousins last night, it's sort of, you know, that feeling when you're playing a slot machine, that very rare instance when you get a jackpot,
mm-hmm.
you're looking at it, you hear the you know, all the little sounds, and then the coins, the old days, gung, 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 gung. They don't, now it's a little strip of paper that you cash in. But when you're staring at it, you're like, wow, this is really happening, but it seems almost like it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
It was surreal. And when I was watching Cousins, it was like watching a jackpot nonstop. It's like he's on the Warriors. It's just, it's still, you think, what people say, Rick, the Warriors have been good for a long time. It's still those 40 years that are ingrained,
right.
ingrained in me that I just appreciate it like you wouldn't believe.
You know, and I was just reminded, I think it was during the ski team, the boys, Kolsky and Shasky, were talking about it, and somebody brought up, I think it was him, it may have been Damon yesterday, but anyway, the date that we heard DeMarcus come, actually it was Damon, because he replayed his on-the-air reaction. It happened while he was on the air, and it was awesome. Great decision to replay that. But it was July 2nd. And remember the date of Kevin Durant deciding to come to the Warriors?
4th of July.
The 4th, yeah. So like two of the past three, four 4th of July parties for anybody associated with the Warriors.
Wow.
Pretty damn exciting, right?
Absolutely. And it's, of course, the story is old about how this was sort of this luxurious novelty.
Mm-hmm.
And how would he fit in? And hey, why wouldn't you want a good player? And then, of course, then it got to the point a few weeks ago, like, oh, he has to save us. I'm glad, and Kerr was talking to us about this lately, too, is that they've been playing well the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And so that's a good time to inject someone like that. But as I said, it's probably just going to be for about 3 or 4 months, as we know. So let's just enjoy
the hell out of it.
Tomorrow against the Lakers.
You know what, though? You're right. I mean, because he's going to be here a finite amount of time. We know that. I mean, actually, we can't say 100% because crazier things have happened. I mean, just Durant coming to the Warriors is crazy. But I would say 99.9% chance that Boogie is done in a Warriors uniform whenever the Warriors season comes to an end. And so, again, we have a finite amount of time. We don't have that luxury with Kevin Durant, so there's always going to be some uncertainty there. But, yeah, there's no reason not to just fully embrace Boogie and everything that he represents. I mean, even if you're just a basketball fan, and I know basketball fans nationwide, if you're not a Warriors fan, you're hating the Warriors even more now because they've got DeMarcus Cousins. But if you truly are a basketball fan, you should be able to separate yourself, and when they're not playing against your team, turn on a Warriors game and just appreciate the game being played at maybe the highest level we've ever seen the game played at.
Yes, and even in warm-ups, when Steph Curry does this thing where he underhands the ball to the rafters with just enough English on it, PJ Clemissimo, to have it roll in, and then they go crazy like kids.
Right.
They it's not like when the Yankees come to town, and you've seen this covering baseball, you go into their dugout, no one's smiling, no one's saying a word.
Super corporate.
It's just, it's like it was a business trip.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I realize that, but sports are supposed to be a little bit fun.
A little bit.
The Warriors are keeping it fun. On the text line, Chilton Auto Body text line 95795, the 510 says, you don't miss Eric Dampier. I'll give him credit. He spelled Eric the right way, E-R-I-C-K.
Dampier's not an easy word to spell either if you're not familiar with the guy.
Part of our French thing, Dampier.
There you go.
Do you remember who the Warriors traded to the Pacers to get Eric Dampier?
Would that be Mike Dunleavy?
It would be Chris Mullin.
Chris Mullin?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes,
I was pretty far off with that one.
415, it's Berkeley Pete. He says, maybe he's at Pete's in Berkeley. He says, gentlemen, don't forget before Iggy, Dubs couldn't get any free agents to sign here. If you take that a step back, I remember when David Lee agreed to the sign-in trade.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually was
from the Knicks.
Yeah. And I was actually on the airwaves questioning his desire to win. Because he talked about, oh, I love the town. It's a great place to live. And I said, if he really wanted to win, he wouldn't come here. Because the Warriors aren't going to win anything. And so that's why Steph always says that he and David Lee were the OGs during that time.
Yeah.
But that to me was like, and I don't know what his motives were, if it was just money or whatever it was. When he said, hey, I love the area, I questioned. I go, well, I guess you don't want to win. Because if you wanted to win, you certainly wouldn't have come here. Was I being too harsh?
No, I don't think so. Because at the time, we had no idea what the Warriors were going to morph into. And, did they know? I know that Joe Lacob is famous, light years ahead, quote. But he he made that quote after they had established their dominance over the NBA.
Let me just throw this in, too, because within the sound of our voices, there are a lot of Kings fans. Do you think Kings fans last night watched that or didn't watch it but heard about it and were like, hey, you know what? This was a guy who wanted to stay here. He didn't want to leave. In fact, even after he was dealt, he came back to hang out with fans and give a talk. And all the best to him. Or do you think, screw the Warriors, they have our guy, this is making me throw up? Which side of the pendulum do you think?
I don't know that they're on either side of the pendulum that drastically. I think the fact that the Kings are now widely considered on the come, you know, they're a team on the rise, there's no doubt. And they play fast as hell, which is an entertaining style of basketball to watch. I just don't think, I'd like to think they're not so wrapped up in the past that they're pissed at the Warriors or Boogie Cousins. I think that the Kings fans should be feeling about the way, you know, guys like me and you felt early in the Warriors' ascent, like maybe the year that they got knocked out in the second round. You know, I could see the Kings surprising people, getting into the playoffs and maybe sneaking one round of victories in there. But I'd like Kings fans to focus on the fact that things aren't that bad for Kings fans anymore.
No, and I think especially with their new arena and everything, I think things are looking up. There's no doubt. You can question the whole situation with their draft, whatever. We'll see how it plays out. That Michael Malone got fired too quick. That's all ancient history. Right now, you're right. They're on the rise. But my older brother lives in Sac, and over the years, I've been talking to some Kings fans, and almost to a person, they really, really don't like the Warriors. And what's funny about that is, because I asked them, I go, wait a minute, where'd you grow up? And I'd be like, Vacaville, Davis, Dixon, whatever. I go, so they're like my age. I'm like, so you used to be a Warrior fan. And they all went, yeah. I go, but now you despise them?
Now that they're good? Like,
no, this is even before they were good. I think it just helped them switch to the Kings. And I understand, look, if you have a team come to your hometown, it's like my parents were Giants fans for 10 years until their hometown got a baseball team. They still like the Giants because they had that 10-year base. But if the A's play the Giants, whatever. So I kind of thought that it didn't happen with those people. It's just like, you know what? I'm a Kings fan, but, you know, if they're not playing, I'll pull for the Dubs because I was a fan for 35 years or whatever. So it's almost like this big brother, little brother thing sometimes.
And, you know, when they last played each other, and it was actually the last couple of times, it's been an entertaining game, right?
Very close.
And that's something, again, that you hear rivalry. Is this a regional rivalry? Well, it's never going to be a rivalry until both teams are good at the same time. And that's why I love... Like this year, we can say there's a little bit of juice in the Lakers rivalry and there's juice in the Kings rivalry. So we've got a couple regional rivalries that are slowly building.
And I do know a few people who, when the Kings had the Peja, Bibby, you know, C-Web, Lotte team, and they almost got to the finals, they switched from Warriors to Kings, and then they had to switch back.
You can't switch back.
Well, listen, you could say you can't switch in the first place, but look, it's a free country. You can do whatever you want. Being a front runner, I'm jealous of front runners because their team always wins the World Series and the Stanley Cup and the World Cup. The only thing is, I've said this before, I don't hold it against you if you switch teams because, you know, it's like holding against you for your religion. It's your choice, right? But I do say if you do stick with one team, it's so much sweeter than the people who put on a Cubs hat right after the World Series.
Right.
I've always loved him. You loved him for about a month. And you can say you can bask in it, but you don't really feel it unless you, and not that I want to suffer with these teams. I would rather have them win every year. But if you do stay the course, 1,000 points a lie, it wouldn't be prudent. If you stay the course, then it just means so much more, I think. All right, let's bring in our good friend Danny LaRue. He covers the Warriors and the rest of the NBA for The Athletic. And Danny, for me, I was just telling Michael Urban here, this is Rick Tittle, that when Cousins hit that third three, even though I'm a lifelong Warrior fan, I did think, wait a minute, this isn't fair right now. What's going on? What were some of your impressions about last night?
Well, I think you had a lot of elements going in different directions. Overwhelmingly, though, to me, was that he was working hard and looking better physically than I expected at this point. You know, it takes a long time to come back from an Achilles injury if a player does at all. I mean, Rudy Gay is probably the best case scenario right now, and I think we're about 2 years out now, and he's looking as good as really as he ever has. And so the effort level was strong. the Clippers were attacking him a lot on defense, not a surprise. But I thought he did well overall. He did better than I expected, to be sure.
Hey, Danny, are they going to have to adjust the way they play defense to accommodate DeMarcus, or is DeMarcus just going to have to get better at what the Warriors do?
It's going to be a lot of both. I think that DeMarcus is the most limited defensive center that they've had in a long time. But some of the elements, most notably transition defense, I think that he can get better at that through effort. You know, that's something that the Warriors just have to do with all of their big men, especially with the way they attack offensively and guys end up in different spots on the floor, is that if you're not involved in, like, getting the rebound, you need to get back. And Cousins has been more motivated to do that when he's been on good teams. Like, for example, last year on the Pelicans, I thought he was better defensively. But, you know, he doesn't have the same tools in the toolbox that some of the other Warrior centers, either now or in the past. You can think of somebody like David West. He doesn't have everything that those guys did in terms of experience and physical tools.
Do you think that we are back in the dreamland that Kerr said that this is not the real NBA? It's the toil and strife that we had a few, you know, weeks, months ago? Or do you think, no, this is a brave new world. It's a new dawn. Cousins playing like this, this is the real NBA.
I mean, it's a little bit, that's interesting, because offensively, there are so many reasons why this can work really well. Cousins, his ability with the ball in his hands is well known, though I think his passing might be underrated around the league. He's a very good passer, not, you know, supernatural, but very good. But also, he's a very good screener. And that's something that the Warriors have missed from their, let's call them, traditional centers this year. Kevon Looney, you know, he's active. He tries hard. He just isn't built the same way. And those same, that, you know, that frame that sometimes will make Cousins a little bit tougher to deal with on defense works really well for the Warriors offense, especially because his skill level is incredible. So offensively, I think it's really going to work. And there isn't really a way to counter, let's call it a Curry-Cousins pick and roll. There isn't really a way to do that, because if you double Curry, then somebody's getting open. If you switch it, then Cousins can attack on that switch. A lot of different approaches that have worked, you know, like we've seen what the teams have done with Draymond Green. Those things don't work when you have DeMarcus Cousins setting it.
So, Danny, you get to see this every day up front, up close and personal. I mean, I'm a lifelong Warrior fan, as is Rick, and so we've gone through, you know, 35, 38 of our 50-plus years of the Warriors just being awful, and so we're in heaven watching this. But for you, I'm assuming you didn't grow up a Warriors lifelong fan. Are you able to sit and watch these Warriors and put it in perspective how truly unique this is in the history of the NBA, and do you feel grateful that you get to watch it up close like this?
I do. I grew up in the Bay Area, but I did not grow up a basketball fan.
Okay.
So I didn't really grow up a Warriors fan. And so it is a little bit different, but I've covered the team for 10 years. So I've covered mm-hmm. some truly awful, you know, years in those early goings. I mean, I remember back when Steph told me at the end of his rookie year that he'd lost more games that season than he had in high school and college combined.
Wow.
And I a lot of that's just because the NBA season is so insanely long. But I think back on those moments a lot. And most franchises that are that bad stay that bad. I mean, that's just the nature of the league. And to not only to have this for a short period of time, but now it's an extended period of time, is something entirely different. This isn't Run TMC for a year and a half. This isn't We Believe for 10 months, depending on how you want to count it. This is a sustained dynasty.
Danny LaRue is with us from The Athletic. Tittle and Herbs, 95.7 The Game. A couple more questions for Danny, who covers the Warriors. Knowing Cousins' long journey, and as you said, an Achilles sometimes can be a death knell to your career, getting acquired by the Warriors, somewhat surprisingly to say the least, all the workouts, the relationships that he formed in Brazil with Team USA. Last night, I would have to say, in the history of all basketball, even high school and college, never did a 2-2 tie get the entire bench celebrating, because when Durant passed it to Cousins and he hit that dunk, as he was in midair, every man on that bench exploded. And that's never happened for a 2-2 tie. And that just shows me how much that means, not just to Cousins, but to every man on that team.
I did the same thing in my living room, for the record.
Yeah, I mean, something that I think Tim Kawakami brought this up in a piece that we roundtable piece that we put together on The Athletic about how this Warriors team over the last couple of years, they really resonate when they have something to root for. And that can be getting a guy a ring. That can be somebody coming back from an injury. And DeMarcus Cousins does a lot of those things. And those personal relationships that he had with players, especially, I'm sure there are players on the team who feel that Cousins has an undue reputation, partially because he spent all those years on Sacramento back when they weren't as successful as they are at this moment in time. And so you get a lot of those things running together, and it gives the players that are their holdovers something to be invested in over what we know is a grind, because we've seen it over these years. And the Warriors are in a holding pattern until April. Now they have something a lot more interesting to deal with, to enjoy during this time.
Danny, any concern whatsoever that he fouled out in 15 minutes of play?
Not particularly, because the Warriors have other options. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been very cognizant of this idea because people, like, especially before Cousins came back, were like, oh, they really need a center. They have a lot of options, especially in the playoffs. If Draymond's going to be playing more at the five, which he usually does, they go smaller. I think that what they need actually is to get another forward. So if Cousins can play 15 minutes, sure. If he can play 25, that's great. But Kevon Looney, I thought, did a nice job last night. Draymond can, of course, do it. And then Jordan Bell, when pressed, can absolutely play minutes too.
Danny, you think about the last few days. The Warriors go to Denver, who think, okay, now it's time to really show them there's a new kid on the block. They get destroyed. We know about the 51-point first quarter. The Warriors never looked back. They never had a lull. Then you add Cousins, and we saw what happened last night. Is the rest of the league kind of thinking, you know, like a week ago we thought, look, the Warriors are great, but they can be had. Did they look at that game last night and say, ah, screw it, what's up for next season?
It's tough, and I mean, the Western Conference in general doesn't look nearly as top-heavy as in other years. You know, the Rockets last year were playing incredibly well. We'll see what Chris Paul looks like whenever he comes back from this hamstring issue. But I think the teams in the Eastern Conference don't necessarily have that fear. But the good thing for the Warriors, even if those teams are strong, A, they only face one of them, and B, they only face one of them for a best-of-seven series. And the Warriors haven't lost a whole lot of those over the last few years.
Hey, Danny, when it comes to, say the Warriors are leading by 25 going into the fourth quarter, we know that in the past that means all the stars are going to sit the fourth quarter. While Boogie's working his way back, might Steve keep him in that situation just to kind of continue him ramping up and getting into NBA game shape?
I wouldn't be surprised if they did. The medical staff will be in communication with Kerr and, of course, with Cousins for those circumstances. But there isn't really a direct replacement for in-game action, even if it's garbage time action. I think that could be good for him. And the other thing, and we saw this with the way the Warriors used him on Friday night, they want to try Cousins in a variety of circumstances, you know, having him as the primary option, playing him with the other all-stars. And even if it's kind of garbage time, that's still a piece of information that's useful for them. So if it helps him physically and it gives them something else to look at, absolutely.
You know, Draymond last night on that one dunk pulled himself up so high he needed a triple Salchow dismount. And we're hearing that he came within a hair's length of being thrown out of the game, or at least getting teed up. Is that just an excitement level?
He got teed up for it. He just didn't get tossed.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking about how, you know, Draymond has had to carry a big load these last few years in the paint, even when they had the Wests and the Pachulias of the world. And I just think for him, it was so exciting for Draymond. And we know about the friendship with Team USA, but was that just a moment of exuberance? Like, yeah, I don't have to do everything in the paint now.
I mean, Draymond has a lot of exuberance. So it was an outpouring, but he has those when he has the opportunity. And yeah, I think that the funny thing about that was there was the pull up on the rim is really, I think, what got him the tech as opposed to just hanging on the rim. So I think it started out as like a safety thing, which often happens, but then he relished it a little bit. But this is a very different situation, and it's worth mentioning that Draymond, while his jump shot has, you know, it had a great moment in the Pelicans game, and other than that, it's been pretty rough this year. His distribution, especially passing the ball without turnovers, has really gotten back to normal over the last few weeks. And that has been such an important part of the Warriors kind of getting, you know, they've been a great offensive team all year, but really getting back to that level where they're scaring everybody else. Is that the easiest way for the Warriors to lose is for them to beat themselves or to give the other team an out. And if Draymond's being responsible with the ball and he has more options to do that now, this team is incredibly hard to stop.
Danny, assuming they stay healthy, is and look, be 100% honest. Can this team be beaten in the playoffs if they're healthy?
They can. I think that the
really?
Warriors, they have a tendency, you know, when they lose big. Remember, they've already lost four games at home this year by 20-plus.
Mm-hmm.
It can happen. I'm not saying that I would expect it, but no, I mean, they're not perfect. They have this incandescent offense, but the Raptors have a really high ceiling. The Bucks have a really high ceiling. And remember that in some, depending, we don't know exactly where it's going to go, but there's a possibility they won't have home court in the finals this year, which would be a first. And that wouldn't help. I mean, I still would have the Warriors as a favorite over everybody right now, but it's not a guarantee, no.
That is Danny LaRue. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at Danny LaRue, LeROUX. And, of course, you can read him in The Athletic as well. Danny, thanks for your time, man. We really appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Danny.
You know, it's interesting, Herbs. He said he didn't grow up a basketball fan, and I'm sure there were a lot of people who were like, what the hell, man? Give me that job.
Right.
But in a way, that's kind of good.
Might serve him well in that
because
capacity.
Because when I did A's pre and post, part of that crew with Tony for 8 years, I'm a lifelong fan, and so I was always extra hard on them because I held them to such a high level.
Right.
And I think that if I didn't care, maybe I would be more, but because your passion gets into it.
Oh, yeah. It clouds your vision a little bit.
Yeah.
No question.
And it wasn't in a homer way. I was always probably more hard than I should be because I held them to that championship standard.
Right.
I don't hold my Sharkies there yet because they haven't won it. Every other team, now the Giants, everyone. If you want a championship now, I hold you. Hold you high, man.
Stay there.
All right, we'll stay there. Herbs and Tittle, we'll take a quick break. We'll come on back on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Thank you so much, Rick Tittle and Michael Urban with you. We'll take you up until 7:45, and then we're going to go see the Hilltoppers. USF Dons. How about that on 95.7 The Game?
They're tourney bound, Rick.
Ah, you just jinxed them.
No, not at all.
You know
how
it works.
I don't buy that.
You know how it works in the West Coast Conference. You got to win the tournament or just forget it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well,
they'd have to. Well, listen. Same area as beat Gonzaga. They still. I mean, you gotta beat Gonzaga probably twice if you're not going to win the tournament.
Right.
I mean, we already saw what Gonzaga did over there.
If Gonzaga doesn't win the tournament, then you might get two teams from the WCC in because Gonzaga might get an at large. There. I mean, I think
they'll definitely get an at large. Yeah. No, they'll definitely get it. We'll talk to Bob Nightingale, by the way. At right around 6:15, we'll talk a little baseball. We'll get into the hot stove, your calls as well. Remember, the lines are always open at 888-957-9570 and the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795.
By the way, I saw something on the text line. I don't know if you've heard this before, but I had not. You know that Steph and Clay are the Splash Brothers, right? Mm-hmm. Draymond and Boogie, the Smash Brothers.
Yeah, a little Nintendo there.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. By the way, we're going to talk a little football here. Anyone listening right now, if you're going to be watching the game someplace that seems a little bit, you know, boring, we have a solution for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to come to our Gridiron Gala. We've been doing this since we started the station in 2011. I remember going down to Rookies in San Jose for the very first one. We've been doing it ever since. Lots of different venues. We're going to have the same place we had it last year because it was such a big hit.
Mm-hmm.
Hooters in Campbell. So come on down to Hooters. Bascom
Ave. Both games.
Both games. You and I will be there.
If you would like to meet one of your favorite personalities from the game, and you can only be at one of those games mm-hmm. at Hooters, go to the first one, because that's when I think we'll have most of the crew there.
The first game will be at noon. It's the Rams at the Saints. The second game, which is, I think, the doozy, and we'll see. We never know. Yeah. New England at Kansas City. And before we break those down, just a quick, by the way, there was one Gridiron Gala, and guess who showed up and took pictures with us? Clay Thompson. You remember that one?
Mm-hmm. I do.
That was the first time, because I look at Clay and I think, we're the same height.
No.
No, he's way, way, way taller. I'm more like Steph. But the two times we've done that, people, you know, you say meet your favorite person. The two times over the years where I've gotten a request when someone comes up to me and says, can you please get this person? I really want to meet him. One of them was for Greg Papa, as you might imagine.
Right.
The other one was for someone really wanted to meet Guy Haberman.
Wait, somebody came to you
yeah.
and said, can you
bring me Papa? Because
how'd that make you feel?
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. They felt
you didn't feel less than.
Maybe they felt threatened by Greg Papa. Like he'd walk over and go, "Stop it," you know, something like that. Do we have that drop? I don't know. I don't use this board. But so yes, I know everyone out there wants to get a selfie with Michael Irvin.
Yeah, so, right.
So you can come down. All right, let's talk about that first game. And first of all, before we get to that, I lied. Would you rather see, because of all the four different matchups we can have, is it more intriguing for you to see the two 40-year-olds go at it in their 40s with Breeze and Brady? Would it be more satisfying to see the young guns, the 24-year-old and the 23-year-old, go at it in the Super Bowl? Would you like to see the Bay Area Catholic schoolboys, Sarah versus Marin Catholic Super Bowl? Or would you like a Mahomes versus Breeze, Cy Young, Cy Old type of thing? Your personal preference, Mike.
I'd very much like to see Pat Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
I agree with you, and I'd love to see him lose to the Saints.
Okay.
That's
Why?
What I want.
Why?
Because I hate the Chiefs.
Oh, okay.
I'm a Raider fan. What do you want?
Andy Reid is going to finally be able to shake that. I mean, if there's any criticism of Andy Reid, it's an easy one to point to. It's just, you know, he can't get it done in the biggest of games. And when you're going up against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in the championship game, that's daunting. And so if they do manage to pull that off, now the Chiefs are favored in the game, correct?
This would be the first time in 69 games. Actually, it's been six. So it's the first time in 70 games that Brady has not been favored.
Yeah. So I don't know that they're favored. They're favored in the money line, in the point spread. But in the minds of most football fans, who do most football fans think are going to win that game? It's the Patriots, and right. For good reason. I'd just kind of like to see new blood. And Pat Mahomes is just so much fun to watch. I mean, he throws balls sidearm that are just insane. I mean, I thought... I was on the field for a throw that Brett Favre made, running one way, turning his body, throwing the other direction across the field and just throwing a bullet. That was the most impressive throw I've ever seen. I think I've seen Mahomes make about 30 throws that are more impressive than that.
And I'm with you. I think he's a fantastic kid. He's a fantastic talent. I would love to see him in the Super Bowl. I really would. The Patriots, to me, going to the Super Bowl. And listen, if you win, to the victor go the spoils. Mm-hmm. And I will respect what you got done. But that, to me, is snoozerville if it's the Patriots again. But, you know, do you want to be the team to bet against them? And we can, and I've been doing this all week. To me, it seems a little bit prosaic to talk about, you know, the Chiefs' defense is this bad. How are they against the one? Or they're 16th. Oh, they're 32nd. Okay, this is how they're going to attack. Those numbers a lot of times just get thrown out.
Yeah, I agree.
When the game starts. So obviously the Chiefs know that they're not going to rise up and all of a sudden be the purple people eaters or, you know, some fantastic defense. And that's good for the impartial fan because that means it's going to be lots of aerial attacks,
right,
Michael?
And that's what you want to see in that matchup, right? Especially, I mean, the more I see Mahomes drop back, the better. And sure, they took a serious hit in their running game, but it looks like, I mean, have they really missed a whole lot? It's almost like, okay, remember the Patriots went through a stretch, and so did the Broncos, where it didn't matter who you plugged in as running back. They were going to get 1,000 yards, and they were going to be effective. That's kind of the way I see these teams right now.
Now, the funny thing is the early game, the noon game, the Rams at the Saints, and you think about, and this, by the way, we've said this before, it's the first time we've ever had the top four offenses in the last four. The whole defense wins championships. Mm. I hate catchphrases. Good pitching always beats good hitting.
Not true.
I mean, you want 55 examples of that?
So I threw some really good pitches at USF that ended up on the other side of the fence.
Someone will say, well, you weren't good pitching.
Yeah.
Were you all conference?
No. Okay. No. I was a reliever, man.
But I think the Rams and the Saints are going to, more than ever, not just balanced-wise, like 60-40, 50-50, but they're both really going to try to establish the run.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about Gurley and our own Cal Bear from Vallejo, C.J. Anderson.
30 pounds heavier.
Love it.
Just as good.
Well, he says his wife's in her third trimester or whatever, and he wants to like look like that, too. I thought that was a great line.
Well, that happens a lot. I remember the first time... Yeah, with our first child, with Jackie, I gained about 25 pounds during that pregnancy.
You want some ice cream? I think I'll have some too.
Yeah, right, like exactly.
And then the Saints, what they have going with Ingram and Kamara, we're going to see a lot of running. And the Rams defensively aren't very good against the run, surprisingly.
Ndamukong Suh finally showed up last week. Like he's been hit and miss for them, I think. By and large, he's had a good season, but not... I mean, there was a time when he was the most dominant defensive lineman out there. He was just flat-out scary in a number of different ways. He hasn't been that consistently this year, but he was that last week. And if he's going to be that guy come Sunday, then I like the Rams' chances.
What do you think about Jared Goff? Because we in the draft, I went on the air saying, this is the guy. I saw him enough in person at Cal. At the Combine, he was the only guy that threw before the wide receiver made his break. The scouts were gushing over him. And then we saw him on Hard Knocks, where he was like this wallflower, and it's like, I'm just happy to be here type of guy. And
didn't seem like a leader of men.
No, and then he was not a Mac. He did not have that gravitas.
Right.
And then you could say it was Sean McVay or whatever, and now he's got it again. We saw last year in the playoffs that the Falcons came in, and they were off their Super Bowl hangover, so that was kind of an easy one to predict, even though it was in L.A. But now that Goff's got one under his belt, how do you think he's going to perform?
I think he's going to be fine. He looks, anybody who doesn't think that his dramatic turnaround career-wise is tied incredibly close to Sean McVay. I mean, McVay is basically, it's interesting for a guy that young, you wouldn't think he would need his career resurrected after only a couple of years in the league, but that's what he needed and that's what he got in McVay.
The first half of the season, Goff was red hot. He's not really had a great second half, but they don't need him if they can get their ground game going. By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM at HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the Bay Area's number one sports talk station. Rick Tittle and Michael Urban with you for another hour 45.
Did you see this text that just came in?
Mm-mm.
I'd rather meet Michael Urban than have to watch football, which is faint praise, but I would like to meet you.
Wow, that is.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.